Well, good morning, everyone. It is so good that we don't have to preach in the dark today, that the light of Jesus is shining brightly today. Praise God. We are looking at the Christian's heart, a series of sermons entitled Knowing the Heart of God. We're looking today at a hope-filled heart. That's a heart that finds ultimate hope only in Christ Jesus. It rejects the world's ideas of hope, that hope when things that are uncertain, but we hope in the certainty that comes in Christ. Our scripture passage today is Psalm 31, 23, and 24, where we read, "Love the Lord, all you saints. The Lord preserves the faithful. The proud he pays back in full. But be strong, take heart, all of you who hope in the Lord." Again, Psalm 31, 23, and 24. And as we consider the heart of God, as we talk about Christians having hope, a heart of hope, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to pray simply a praise song today. I'm not going to sing it, but just to pray the words of a great praise psalm that we looked at last week. So could we pray? Our Father, we come to you today and we pray, change our hearts, O God. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The word hope means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And if you talk to people about hope, you're liable to get all sorts of answers about what hope is about. For instance, there are some people who don't have any hope at all. There are some people, hope is not a word that is in their vocabulary. I call them doom and gloomers. Doom and gloomers are people who, when you talk to them about anything hopeful for the future, they'll say things like, the world's going to pot. If natural causes don't destroy us, our government will. The financial markets are all going to fail. We're going to be paying for a loaf of bread with a wheelbarrow full of money in some few years. Or if you were smart enough to invest in silver coins, you'll be able to pay for food then. Disasters around the corner. Life as we know it's coming to an end. It could come with a nuclear war, with terrorist attacks, a pandemic, a giant asteroid crashing into the earth, wiping out all life, a super volcano erupting at Yellowstone. There are even people who really fear alien and zombie invasions. Doom and gloomers. I mention doom and gloomers because, in contrast, there are other people who have hope that our world is just getting better and better and better. Hope that in mankind, it's kind of a false hope that kind of says things like, oh, man, science has all the answers. Our hope for the future is science. Man, in the days ahead, we're going to, we're going to colonize Mars. We're going to travel between the stars like Star Trek. Cancer is going to be eliminated. We're going to have a green future where conservation and renewable resources will supply all of our energy needs. And if that doesn't work, well, we're going to develop safe and unlimited fusion power. The world's going to be great. War's going to be eliminated. The world's going to be a utopia if we just educate people more. And if our technical advances are going to save us, we're going to have a great future. Well, I think the concept that the world is just getting better and better and better, It would be laughable if it wasn't so tragically false. As we look at our world today, we read about the crime, terrorism, man's inhumanity to man, evil governments, greater, ever greater technology that can do wonderfully wonderful things, but it also can it can do incredible harm. None of these things are going away, and it's because the human race has a very basic problem. The human race is not getting better and better because the human heart hasn't changed. The human heart is just as evil and wicked as it's ever been. And Jeremiah, many, many years ago, kind of nailed it when he said in Jeremiah 17:9, that the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? We don't even understand how deceitful our heart is. Humanity is not the hope of the world. Technology, science is not the hope of the world, because the object of such hope falls back on humanity. And we are basically flawed. We are a sinful, fallen race. Human efforts are not the hope of the world. Well, you ask people about hope, and on a large scale, you know, hope of the world, people have all sorts of different answers. On an individual scale, people have different answers about hope as well. They'll talk about hope that's just wishful thinking. You know, they're the doom and gloomers, the folks who by contrast have hope in humanity. But there's those folks who just have wishful thinking. Hope, as defined by these folks, is kind of an abstract thought. There's nothing to substantiate the hope, nothing to support the hope, nothing to bring about any fulfillment. It's just a kind of a hope that things are going to turn out okay. And it's about as well-founded as your hope of winning the lottery or hoping that you're going to be in the will of a long-lost uncle, a rich uncle. It's kind of a gamble as to whether your hope is really going to be fulfilled or not. And in that way, there are folks who just hope they're going to, get into heaven. I hope to get there. I'm a pretty good person. And such hope is a self-deception. It is an illusion. Today I want to talk about Christian hope, which is very different than the hope of this world. Christian hope that is well-founded and well-based on Christ, and a hope that is certain. Several passages of Scripture, we're going to be thumbing all through the Bible today, but I want to speak today about Christian hope which is confident. Christian hope, which is certain, because it is based on a faithful and changeless God. You know, the Bible speaks of a hope that has as its object hope in God. It's not just hope and wishful thinking, hope that comes in God. And because our hope is placed in God, who is faithful, who is steadfast, who never changes, who is the same yesterday, for today, and forever, because we have hope in God, who is changeless and faithful, we can have certainty about the hope that Christ gives to us through his death on the cross. Listen to a couple of these verses. Malachi 3:6, God speaks there and says, I, the Lord, do not change. I, the Lord, do not change. He is changeless. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can count on God to always be the same, and we can count on him to be faithful and to carry out his promises. I love the verse Titus. Actually, it's Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, not just 2. Titus chapter 1, 1 and 2. This is obviously the first couple of verses of Paul's letter to Titus. And listen how he begins his letter to Titus. He says, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect, and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. A faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Paul speaks of a hope that we have in eternal life, a hope that comes from God, from a God who does not lie, who has made that promise from the beginning of time. And in Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we professed, for he who promised is faithful. God who promised us our hope in Christ, he is faithful. We need to thank God for the hope that we have in him. Let me tell you a little story. Essential reading for me every day is the comics and the newspaper. Yes, I still get the newspaper. I get the comics. And you got to read Peanuts. And one day, Lucy and Linus are sitting in front of the TV set. And Lucy says to Linus, get up and get me some water. And Linus is kind of surprised, and he says, oh, why should I do anything for you? You never do anything for me. And Lucy says, on your 75th birthday, I'll bake you a cake. And so Linus gets up, he heads to the kitchen, and he says, life is more pleasant when you have something to look forward to. Hey, guess what? Life is more pleasant when you have something to look forward to. And Christian, life is more pleasant when you have something to look forward to. Let's talk about what this hope is that we call Christian hope. It is hope, first of all, in the resurrection of the dead. Acts 23:6, Paul is before the Sanhedrin, he is on trial. And chapter 23:6 says, Paul, knowing that some of those who were his accusers were Sadducees and others were Pharisees, called out in the Sanhedrin, my brothers, I'm a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. I stand on trial because of my hope in the resurrection of the dead, based on Jesus' resurrection from the dead. The Pharisees and Sadducees, two kind of religious political parties of the day, they differed. The Sanhedrin, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. Pharisees did. And so Paul immediately divides his audience by saying, I'm a Pharisee and I believe in the resurrection of the dead. That's why I'm on trial. He was utterly convinced that Jesus had risen from the dead, that he had experienced the resurrection, that there were eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. Our hope lies in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, you can talk about our hope is in the Bible, our hope is in Jesus, but what is the confirming activity, the confirming action of God that tells us that our faith is true and that all of the hope that we have for the future is true is the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Not only did he die on the cross for our sins, but he rose from the dead. That is the basis for our hope. It is something that we could see with that eyewitnesses could see with their eyes. It was tangible proof that the hope that we have in Christ is real. Peter speaks of that hope in his first epistle, in 1 Peter 1:3-5. He speaks of the fact that we have a living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus. Listen to what he says. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Praise be to him. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. An inheritance that is kept in heaven for you. And through faith, you're shielded by God's power unto the coming of that salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. We are kept, that we are shielded by God's power until Christ comes again. Hope, you see, for a Christian, is not just some abstract hope that maybe it will come to pass, maybe it won't. Our hope is based on the resurrection of Jesus. In fact, you might be able to say, hope for the Christian has a name. And the name is Jesus Christ. Our hope isn't a dead hope. It is a living hope. It is a hope that helps us day to day as we live. It's not just about a future inheritance in heaven. It's about our present redemption and about the abundant life that God gives us today that comes from our new birth. Paul talks about the fact that we have put our hope in the living God. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, our hope is in a living Savior. 1 Timothy 4:9 through 10 says that. This is a trustworthy saving, deserving of full acceptance. And for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those who believe. What is the Christian hope? It is hope that is based on Christ's resurrection. It is also a hope in the gospel message of Jesus. Paul, in his book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, speaks of the hope that we have in the gospel message. And it is a gospel message of reconciliation. It is a message that we have a sure and certain hope that we who were alienated from God by sin now have reconciliation with him. Listen to what Colossians 1, 21 through 23 says. It says, "Once you were alienated from God, you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now God has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel." Our hope is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That not only just that we know Jesus died and rose again, but he died and rose again for us. That our hope for eternity, our hope for forgiveness, our hope for reconciliation is firmly in Christ. We know these things, but over and over again, the scriptures tell us this is our hope. Don't put your hope in false things. Do not put your hope in temporary things. You know, I hope the stock market won't fail. I've got some retirement funds in there, okay? I hope that when Diane and I see a doctor in a couple of weeks, you know, the doctor's going to be able to help Diane with some of her medical things. But I know ultimately those things I have no particular assurance about. But the hope that we have in Christ is that it is certain because we have the proof of the resurrection and the one who has made the promises to us is faithful. This we can count on even if we cannot count on anything else. Our hope must always be in Christ. Our hope is in the gospel, that we can have reconciliation with God through the gospel message of Jesus. Our hope is also in God's provision for us. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment." We live in a world where many people, their only hope is in the things of this world. They spend their lives accumulating possessions as though that is going to provide hope for their future. Well, possessions can be taken away in a moment, can't they? People spend their lives seeking an education, you know, to be well-educated. But, you know, 10,000 years from now, what difference does that make? People spend their lives seeking power or getting the approval of men. But ultimately, what do those things get us? What really counts is the fact that our hope is in God, and we trust in God to provide for us, as 1 Timothy 6:17 says. And ultimately, our only response to that hope is to live for God's approval and not that of men. We hope for God's provision, which He's promised us that He will provide for our needs. Obviously, there's a hope for eternity. The great resurrection chapter of 1 Corinthians 15 that speaks of the fact that it is because of the resurrection that we have any hope whatsoever. Verses 18 through 19 says, Paul's writing says, "If there is no resurrection from the dead, then those who have fallen in sleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men." Our hope goes beyond this life to eternity. It goes for all eternity. That there is a blessed hope. There is a promise to dwell in the presence of God forever. Finally, not only do we hope for a glorious inheritance, but we, because of the hope we have in Christ, we have hope for today, that we can experience His strength, His power in our lives. Ephesians 1, 17 through 23 speaks of that. It's a longer passage, but it's Ephesians 1, 17, 23. Paul writes, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart," isn't that an interesting phrase, "the eyes of your heart, may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and the hope of His incomparably great power for us who believe." And he describes that power. He says, "That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. That power shows that He was far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, every title that can be given Him, not only in the present age, but the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way." What Paul is saying there is Christ has all power. He has all authority, all dominion. And He fills His church in the here and now with that power. Our hope is in His strength. This is the hope that we have. It's not in ourselves. It's not in what we do. It is in what Christ does through us. So there are some all sorts of characters in the Bible who had such hope. I want you to think about a couple of them this morning. Let's think about Job. And last week we mentioned Abraham. We're going to come back to Abraham again tonight. But let's think about Job for a minute. Job experienced what you and I hope we will never experience. Job lost everything. His flocks, his herds. He lost his children and family to a freak storm. He was later struck down with a terrible disease that put boils all over his body. You can imagine how painful that was. And under those kind of horrific circumstances, he says something in Job chapter 1, verse 21, that you would never expect someone in those circumstances to say. In Job 1, 21, he says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I shall return. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Wow, in those circumstances, blessed be the name of the Lord. Job was where many people today have either been or are today. Folks who have experienced loss and loss of job, family, loss of finances, health. What sets Job apart from so many of us today is that under these horrendous circumstances, Job doesn't criticize God. Job doesn't curse God and die. Instead, we see from this verse that he worships God. He still maintains his hope in God, because he knew God. And while everything had been taken away on the physical side for him, he still possessed a faith and a hope. And he worshiped God throughout. He possessed a faith and hope that is often missing in our culture today. He knew that one day he would die. But he also knew that after his death, he would one day be in the presence of God with a completely restored body. Listen to what it says. Oh, I didn't give you this reference. Job 19:26. Add that up there. Job 19:26. Say it with me, Job 19:26. There we go, add that one. Because listen to what he says. "And after my body has decayed," here's his hope, "yet in my body I will see God." So in the middle of his tragedy, he blesses and thanks God, having faith in him and his... And in faith and in hope, God chose to restore his prosperity in this life. But even if he had not, there would have been the life to come. He maintained his hope throughout. And last week, we spoke a bit about Abraham. Remember, we were in Hebrews chapter 11. Where God promised Abraham that he would have descendants as numerous as the sand, stars in heaven, the sand on the seashore. But his wife was past childbearing years, and so Sarah was barren. But Abraham, he had that hope. He never lost hope because he knew that God, who was faithful, who is unchanging, have made him the promise. And so Romans 4:18, a verse I mentioned last week, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed." And again, an amazing verse of scripture. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, in spite of the circumstances. And so he became the father of many nations. He knew where his hope was to be found, and he knew in whom his hope was to be based. Now, you know, when we talk about such hope, Some people will say, oh, Pastor Larry, that's pie in the sky by and by. There are some people who I agree are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. You've probably run into some folks like that. Hope is never designed to make you no earthly good. Our hope in Christ is because we have this hope in God, we are never to forget that hope. And because we have that hope in God, then while we live on this earth, we keep the end in mind. And we live to give God glory. We do the things that God calls us to do, to help the poor, to share our faith, to give a word of encouragement, to give a cup of cold water to a person in need. It is a message that even some secular folks begin to understand. Stephen Covey wrote a book entitled Seven Habits of Effective Leaders. And one of those habits is always keep the end in mind. Always keep the end in mind. Think what where you're heading so that day to day you can move in that direction and keep your goal before you. Christians, if our hope makes us so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good, we're not paying attention to Jesus. Because Jesus went about from place to place, giving glory and honor to the Heavenly Father by doing good throughout the world, throughout his lifetime. We've got to keep the goal in mind. So let me tell you a story. How many of you have heard of Florence Chadwick? Wow, I'm surprised. I didn't know about this lady.
I just heard the name.
Oh, just the name. Okay, Florence Chadwick. The date is July 4th, 1952. We're on Catalina Island off the coast of California. And it is a very, very, very foggy day. And so Florence Chadwick intended to swim the channel between Catalina Island and the California coast. She was a long-distance swimmer. She was the first woman to swim the English Channel in both directions. So on July 4th, 1952, she is going to swim to California from Catalina Island. I don't know exactly. I should have looked up how many miles. I think it's like 26 or 8 or something in that order. But anyhow, maybe during the Sunday school hour, I'll Google that. But anyhow, that morning, the water was very cold, and the fog was so thick that she could hardly see the boats that surrounded her as she was going through the water. And she swam for 15 hours. And several times those in the boats had to chase away sharks. They drove them away with rifle fire. And her trainer kept encouraging to keep on swimming, that they were so close to land. But when she would look up, all she could see was the fog. And so, 1 mile from her goal, she quit. Later, she said, I'm not excusing myself, but if I could have seen the land, I might have made it. You know, it wasn't the cold or the fear of the sharks or exhaustion. She just couldn't see the goal ahead of her. She could not see the land because of the fog. And you know, many times we as Christians, I think, fail to follow God. Many times we fail to be earthly good for the cause of Christ. We fail to give honor to Christ because we lose sight of the goal. And I think that's why Paul says in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He saw the goal. He maintained the hope. He saw the end in mind. And this morning I just want to say, when we have the heart of God within us, we keep the end in mind. We don't lose sight of our hope that comes through faith in Jesus Christ, our hope that is grounded in the death and resurrection of Jesus, and the hope that is before us of sharing in God's glory and all of heaven. We need to keep that hope before us. This morning, as we think about having the heart of Christ, I think Jesus did the very same thing on the cross. You know, he endured so much for you and me. But the goal was your salvation and mine. Let us follow Jesus and have the heart of Christ, that always our hope will guide us day by day to give him glory. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today. I give you thanks for all that you have done for us. Father, we've talked about having a faith-filled heart last week, a hope-filled heart this week. There seems to be a trilogy about faith, hope, and love somewhere in the Scriptures. And Father, next week we're going to be talking about the love of Christ, where as the suffering servant, he was willing to serve us so out of love and to be a wounded healer for us. Lord, I pray that we have the heart of God within us, and that, Father, we not... And that we not depend on the things of this world, that ultimately we know the only thing that we can count on is you. And Father, it is my prayer that if there is someone here whose hope is in anything other ultimately than Jesus Christ, that today might be the day that they decide, my hope rests in nothing less than in Jesus' blood and righteousness. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand as we sing our invitation?